League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Two Johnnies Podcast,
The Two Johnnies Podcast,
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to episode 54 of the Two Johnnies Podcast, coming to you from our tastefully decorated studio in Two Johnnies HQ in Kerr, County Tipperary. On this week's episode, we are discussing our patron saint, St. Patrick, is having the big day soon. So we discuss Irishness and have we lost a bit of Irishness from all the time we spend on the internet.
And the man who jointly holds the record with the Christian Brothers for the number of hurleys broken across young fellas' backs, Noel Furlong, will be here to dish up another serving of news.
Maureen is here to keep us from getting sued and grill us with her mystery topic.
We discuss relationship milestones. For instance, when do you introduce your other half to your parents?
Oh no!
And we round off the podcast as usual with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, a lot of correspondence on dick pics for this meeting.
Lovely.
That was last week's topic. Hillary said, a guy from a dating website sent me a video of him jerking off as his second message.
He's not messing around, that fella.
No, what an opener. Okay.
Eve has been in touch. She said, got two from the same lad. The captions read, I wish this was inside you and need to unload this bad boy. Needless to say, he got blocked.
Wow.
That need to unload this bad boy. That guy needs help. He's watching too much porn.
A gentleman on Snapchat said, in the podcast, Maureen said that a scrotum is the ugliest thing ever. She obviously didn't meet my ex-girlfriend. She's a personality to match her face, like a melted welly. Well, you've got awful taste in women.
Wow.
And another Aoife emailed podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie. Podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. Yeah, our fancy new email address to say, just after listening to this week's podcast, and I have to say, I cannot believe that around 50% of gals haven't been sent a dick pic. On my own experience of completely unsolicited dick pics, there have been many sent, but one that sticks out definitely was when I was added on Snapchat by a lad who will remain unnamed, but he played soccer for, and we have taken out the name of that League of Ireland soccer team. She thought this was relevant because it might shine some perspective on his ego. He added me by username, which is weird. I never met him. I don't know him. And I've never posted my Snapchat username publicly. So I'm not sure how he got my username. And he snapped me multiple times in the hey, how's things fashion in a bid to initiate conversation. When he received no response after multiple attempts, I still had not accepted his request or slash followed him back. This should have been a fair hint that I wasn't interested in snapping back. He proceeded to send numerous full frontal nudes and a nice few close-ups of his dick. Hey. Perhaps still hoping to entice a response. He was pretty impressive. No fun-sized Mars bars here. Is it just me or is this really creepy? I would love to know how there are lads that think this kind of thing actually works. Maybe it does on occasion. Who am I to judge? On a side note, I did have a creep on Facebook because I had to put a name and location to this persistent lad and discovered that we had a good few mutual friends from the town I went to school. I also found that he had two different Facebook pages as well as two Snapchat accounts. One clearly for his girlfriend of 4 years, which had lovely lovey-dovey posts, pictures and a relationship status, and one had Snapchat username and bio, and another which made him out to be single, focused heavily on the fact that he was a professional soccer player with beep. He had a Snap account that he messaged me off in his bio and was definitely intended to be one for the lads slash pick up side chicks, some pup. I did also discover after this episode had occurred that there was settings on Snapchat that can block people from snapping you until you've added them. Needless to say, this would have been a handy one to know before the boyfriend witnessed a series of dick pics flying into my phone, an avalanche of penis pictures into that lady's phone. What the hell is going on? That's a crazy...
That's great. I wonder if someone catfishing this lad.
Who?
This League of Ireland soccer player.
Pretending to be him.
Yeah.
But he sent pictures of himself. Nude, like
full frontal.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I presume with his face.
Yeah, but yeah, we don't know if his face is in shock.
Yeah, but she got his Snapchat username off his
off another Facebook page.
Unless somebody's really gone to the depths and created a whole fake Facebook page.
I could be wrong. I'm just you know, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Do you know what's interesting though about the correspondence? We didn't get any in from lads who've actually sent dick pics.
No, so they're mortified.
Well, just lads, why do you do it?
They're probably after 10 pints of Guinness and fucking big horn on them. They want to send it to someone. Can't do fuck all else with us.
I don't know. They can't all be on the sauce.
Yeah, that's true as well, I suppose. There's probably sober lads sending them as well.
Yeah, dick pics are 24 hours a day, man. It's not just a nocturnal activity.
Dick pics are not just for Christmas.
I don't know what they're for, but yeah, again, if you've been sending dick pics, but get in touch. Not with actual pictures. Just why are you sending them?
Yeah, she did say there he was fairly impressive. He was pretty impressive is the quote there. No fun size Mars bar. So, you know, maybe if she was single and he was obviously single, like, you know, maybe she'd want to be impressed by that in person.
She did say she found it creepy, though.
Yeah.
As impressive as it was.
And slightly creepy. It's hard to know. Pat was in touch. He said, "All right, Johnny, all your talk of nightclubs in the podcast reminded me of a nightclub in Waterford you would have loved. The Forum, it was called. I was there before. And it was an indie rock club. A lad, the crack in there was mighty. And as for the tunes, System of a Down, Slipknot, Foo Fighters, to name but a few, were regulars. And the last song consistently on a Saturday night was Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name of."
Aww.
"It was chaos, but fantastic crack. Lads would go buck wild in there. Mental when you think about it, considering how health and safety conscious the world has become. Was at my best mate's wedding last year, and he got one of the old Forum DJs to play some throwback, lad. When the last song came on, the only person not in the dance floor roaring, 'Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me,' was the wife. She just looked on in disgust. God bless the work. Drive it, Pat." Do you remember that song the year it got to like Christmas number one?
Killing in the Name of.
Yeah, it was like despite the X Factor.
Yeah.
Actually, it was lads wrecking nightclubs all over Ireland back then.
You don't hear it as much anymore.
No, probably rightly so. Someone wants, they want chandeliers left on the roofs.
Great tune. Anyway, Anonymous said, "Well, Johnny, just in relation to what you were talking about on the last podcast, saying you don't think young ones and young fellas are chewing the jaws off themselves on a night out anymore, I can say with 100% certainty that dropping pills and snorting whatever is definitely more popular than having a drink down in college. I don't take drugs myself and have no intention to, but I'd say I could count on one hand the amount of people I know that don't take some sort of drug on a night out. And the worst thing is, you'd be looked down on if someone offers you something and you say, 'No, I don't want it.' Every second young fella I come across on a night out has their jaw down at their knees and pupils bursting out of their heads, and it's seen as the norm now, and it's quite depressing. I've had a few people's opinion on this. I've asked them and they say not to get involved with anyone like that. But if I do that, there'll be no one left to talk to bar my hand on a night out."
I don't think we ever said there was nobody doing it.
It's definitely become more of a college thing. We got a lot of Snapchats of that saying, "Hey, you mightn't be seeing it, but everyone down in college is taking yorks."
Jesus. That's it, lads. Choose an apprenticeship. Less drugs. You have to go to work on them one day.
More breakfast rolls.
Yeah.
Cholesterol.
Cholesterol is good. Ecstasy, bad. Kira was in touch and said, "On listening to this week's podcast, I was reminded of the desperation as a 17-year-old to get into the local nightclub when Smacks told the story. When I was 17, myself and a few girls shared an ID. Now, I mean to say, 8 of us passed the ID around, often passed it out over the next wall so the next one could get it. To make matters worse about all this, not one of us knew where the ID came from or who the girl was. It had been passed on through a lot of people. We still laugh and think if the girl only knew we stole her identity and made a show of her. Also, Noah's news this week was brilliant. Best to date. I'm going to keep myself anonymous as you never know who could be listening. It's not every day people's identities are stolen and ruined."
Yeah, identity theft is not a joke.
Yeah, that is illegal.
Plus, your bouncers are shit.
Yeah.
Who are the bouncers there, like, if girls are passing this repeated ID out over a while?
Reminds me, my dad was serving a young lad in the pub one day, and my dad knew he had a fake ID. So your man walks up and was like, "A pint of Guinness there, Larry." And my dad was like, "Yeah, no bother, just show us your fake ID there." And your man just like... handed over the ID and didn't cop that daddy had said fake ID, and all the lads around the bar were just like laughing their heads off, you know.
Oh jeez, yeah. We all went through the fake ID days.
Oisín said, "Well, Johnny, I'm a big fan of the podcast. Bye, Oisín, bye. There was an incident in my parish there a few weeks ago that sounds like something Noel will be reporting on. There's an old one. Her name's Bridie. And she, excuse me, Bridie. She never misses mass anyway. This time, she went up for communion as usual, and when she got back down, she noticed that the rosary beads were gone. She reported it to the priest, and there was a notice in the bulletin in the next week and all, asking, did anybody see Bridie's rosary beads? And the priest read it out too. She got awful upset about it because they were blessed by the Pope or something. But it turns out she went into the wrong seat and somebody handed them into the lost and found. So the priest had to let everyone know the crack at the end of the next mass. It was gas. P.S. If you're going to mention this in the podcast, I'd appreciate you don't read out my name, as I was in stitches at the back of the chapel when the priest said it and everybody would know rightly that it was me who put it up. Cheers."
So we've already named you there, so thanks for that, Oisín.
We didn't name the county.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. That's Oisín from Carlow. Stephen was in touch. He said, "Well, lads, I'm living in England at the minute doing a teaching degree. I'm living with five other random people, one of whom is a vegan. I'm standing in the kitchen one night during the week cutting up chicken breasts for the dinner, and the vegan walks in and says, 'You realise a chicken had to die for you to eat that? This lad has been eyeing my head for months,' so I turned quick as a flash and said, 'Sure didn't Jesus die on the cross for me, and I still go to mass every Sunday and eat?' Honestly, I've never seen a more confused look on someone's face. Clearly this lad is a Protestant. Keep her lit, lads." Sectarianism jokes, lads, aren't welcome in this podcast.
There's no evidence that he's a Protestant.
Yeah.
But no, that's actually, the Protestants don't believe that, you know, in transubstantiation. So.
Okay.
And Mary wasn't
no
a virgin.
Idea what that word was, but sure. Yeah.
They say Mary wasn't a virgin.
Yeah, but it means that they don't believe the bread and wine is turned into the actual blood and flesh.
We're not slagging off vegans here either on the Two Johnnies podcast, but how do you know someone's a vegan?
They tell you.
Exactly.
Just the one thing a lad said to me there about nightclubs closing. In Tralee, the nightclub is closed. So now there's two late bars, but they're not quite nightclubs. And he said the dose now, because if you were out early, like 8, 9 o'clock, you'd meet young and get chatting. And he'd say, "Sure, look, I'll see you in the nightclub later." And he said, "Now, sure, everyone gets split up at the end of the night."
Right.
It's wrecking his game.
"I'll see you in Supermax or something then. Is that the go?"
Yeah, and he said the old nightclub has been turned into a gym.
Wow, that's one extreme to another.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Bit of negativity there.
A lot of negativity.
We had one lad who was enjoying your Joys of Tinder section last week, Maura, and he just wanted to show us this guy's Tinder bio. Very honest. George, 30. "I'm on Tinder to make friends, the same way I'm on Pornhub to see the plumber repair the sink." Why, George, boy?
Man, that's George. That was sent in by Orla. Yeah, fair play. That's, you know, fairness to George. He's not fucking around. Lads, who's going to get the Noel's News mug this week? Kindly sponsored by HairyBaby.com, where you can buy loads of Two Johnny's merch. What do we think?
Oh, I think maybe Oisín kind of gets my vote.
Yeah, I like the one on Mass.
Yeah.
Oisín. Grand, we'll be on to Oisín during the week. Congrats, Oisín, you've won an Oz News mug.
Thanks very much to Hairy Baby for designing it.
Yes, and shipping it out. The weekly roundup, what's been going on in Two Johnny's land this week? We were hurling ball, Johnny. Baiting schmal ball.
We went back, yeah. Everyone says to us, "Oh, you're probably not playing anymore." So we're trying to, lads.
Yeah, we're trying our best when we can. We heard last weekend, played a challenge game. Broke up for 3 days after it. There's a lot of rehearsals this week.
We're actually rehearsing for our live comedy show.
Yeah.
People wouldn't believe it now when they see it, but
that's starting back next week. We're back on the road. We're in Clonmel, home show, the Tipperary show next week.
I'm actually buzzing for it now.
Yeah, it'll be great crack.
Because it's sold out though, you know, it's going to be a crack.
Yeah, and then we're in Mayo the following week. There's still a few tickets left for that if you'd like to buy them on thejohnnies.ie.
Come on, Mayo, to fuck. Yeah. Get your shit together.
We promise if you sell it out, Mayo will win the All-Ireland.
Yeah,
that is a fact.
Yeah, we've been talking to the GAA.
We've agreed it. It's all sorted.
It's all squared up.
All you've got to do is buy the tickets
on the Two Johnnies.
And we also announced this week we're doing the Trinity Ball and the C sessions.
Yeah,
C sessions. By
the Trinity Ball is a big deal, apparently.
Seemingly so. Yeah, they're all making it. I got a load of Instagrams and Snapchats about it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a Debs.
I wasn't too sure what it was myself. I wouldn't be up to date on Trinity culture.
Just a big deal.
We'll have to get in.
The Coronas are playing.
Yeah.
And ourselves.
Good man, Dan. Bye. Have a little chat with Dan.
Dan Riley's playing, yeah. They have loads of that. Gavin James did it last year, didn't he? And
yeah, George Ezra done it before.
And you have to be affiliated to Trinity somehow to go.
We're all right. They're just letting us in, even though we didn't get the pints or anything. They're letting us in. So yeah,
we're going to blast it out, lad.
Trinity Balls and C Sessions. We'll have more to announce in the coming weeks as well of where we're going around the summer. Not a little strange, really, the week. It was a lot of
We filmed the podcast and we're filming again today.
Yeah.
But it goes up as normal. But has it changed yet? Are you acting different because there's a camera on you?
Oh, well, I'm not wearing shorts. Or
Yeah.
I probably got up a little bit earlier and done the hair. Like, other than that, I'd probably be doing this in a woolly hat.
Lad, you should just do it in shorts, the fuck.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. You can't see my legs anyway.
Yeah. Double whammy.
Yeah, and there we go. I might do it with no pants on next week.
probably not. It'd be great if you did wore pants.
We get into the meat and two veg.
Go on, yeah. If you want to send us your feedback, lads, you know where to get us.
You know where to get us. You can contact us on Instagram or Snapchat, and you can also email podcast@thetwojimmies.ie.
Go on, sir, right.
Get in touch, right. Topic number one. We're talking about potential loss of Irishness, right? With St. Patrick's Day fast approaching, every Tom, Dick and Harry will be claiming Irishness. But what is Irishness, and have we lost it through our interaction with a more globalised world and the world of the internet? Johnny B.
Yeah, young people are influenced by the internet, not by old Shanachies down the pub, you know?
Shanachies.
Where's the Shanachie?
The storytellers.
Yeah. Do you know?
We've lost that, certainly.
Yeah.
We've lost that since.
Trapes and house to house, telling the story for a quart of bread. and
old warm fire, warm your arse.
Yeah, drop a poteen.
Yeah.
Definitely Irish culture. Okay, take music.
Yeah.
If you listen to the radio,
boom boom music land the radio now. Yeah. Boom boom music.
But like if you listen to the radio every station all day, what are the chances, bar Radio Nogeltica, what are the chances of you hearing a bit of trad or a bit of Lou Kelly?
That is true. Like even like where are the chorus? You won't hear the chorus on the radio now. Good Irish music, but you loved Corn, man. Go away, you're always in the mirror singing.
I used to watch all their videos with the sound off. That's
But that is the thing with music.
Because everyone likes Lou Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big two statues of him. Yeah. One of his head.
One's a bit much. It is this generic music on the radio all the time. I mean, Irish people are losing that sense of... You see, there's certain Irish songs you can't really be seen to be singing now. Because we're so fucking politically correct.
Go on.
We talked about this, like when we first started off, we would do Celtic Symphony.
Yeah, but that was with the acoustic guitars. But we never actually said "Ooh ah up the rat." We used to sing.
You can't say that, like
we used to sing "Ooh ah Paul McGrath."
Yeah, yeah. Or Noel McGrath.
The crowd would be so drunk they would not.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. You nearly feel bad singing them kind of songs or "Come Out You Black and Tans," like.
Yeah.
Like I remember as a young lad, we went to the Gaeltacht, and the only song the group of us fellas knew and we had to perform like a party piece was "Come Out You Black and Tans."
So what, you're in the Gaeltacht?
So like we literally had a huddle and we, like the teacher was like, right boys, you have to perform something now in 10 minutes, right? You're all going up there now. Obviously said it in Irish. And I was just asking the boys what he said. So, and we had to perform and we were like, look, the only song we all know, all the words to is "Come Out You Black and Tans" at that time. Like, so yeah.
What age are you?
I suppose it was 15, 16. But you know, like we would have all known different songs, but together we all knew that. And we ended up having like a 10-minute meeting on, is it acceptable? And that was in 2008, like 2007, 2008, like. So.
And did you do it?
Yeah, we done it. Yeah, we fucking done it anyway. Like, but it went down a treat. Yeah, but.
You're probably playing to the home crowd in a Gaeltacht.
Yeah, that was my thinking was like, I'd say we're safe enough here, boys. You know what I mean? I don't think there's going to be anybody offended here in the Gaeltacht. But nowadays, you know, would you perform that song?
Is it offensive?
I think it's kind of about the old IRA, like the 1920s IRA that actually fought the Black and Tan. So I think,
yeah.
But then it's kind of sung by people who would have sympathies for like the newer version, which of the IRA, which makes it kind of like, oh God, it depends what's, you know, your intentions are sang with it. Like it is a good tune. And I do play the Welchie remix of...
Welchie's going to love this. He had it on his Instagram, so he's going to think we're fucking...
I was actually thinking about having it for my walkout song for my MMA fight. Like, you know, just for the crack. Like, the crowd would go wild.
Fighting an English one.
Don't the Wolf Tones still do it?
Yeah.
Like, a mate of ours, who's a bit older than us, said he used to go to the Wolf Tones 20 years ago, and they'd be singing Kevin Barry, and, like, people would get down on one knee, like, have a moment's silence. Yeah. Whereas now, like, they're up on each other's shoulders,
pulling lights off the walls.
Yeah.
It's a whole different element. I think
rebel songs are nearly not cool anymore, are they?
Well, Michael Conlon was on, and Barry Keoghan were on the Late Late talking about this, and they said that actually they really got into rebel songs when they moved away from Home Nerdy as a way of just kind of connecting with that vibe of Irishness. Like, you know, nobody thinks that terrorism is a good idea like that. But 100%. It's a song written about a point in time in Irish culture, you know. Same with Grace, the beautiful song, the woman too. And that's a really good sentiment. I think if somebody's going to criticise you for singing The Wolf or for singing Come At You Black and Tans, like, look, the reasons they're for singing it are a bit more nuanced than that, and not everything is black and white or good or bad.
Or black and tan.
I'm
on fire.
But the sing song, Johnny, you feel passionately.
The sing song is dying out, lads. There used to be a time where you'd go out and you could be guaranteed, if you stayed in the pub long enough, someone would break out in song and there'd be everybody. You'd sing a song and then he'd sing a song. But like, some people are just saying, oh, sure, I can't sing. Lads, everyone can sing.
Yeah, this is Ireland. Everybody.
This is Ireland. We can all sing. Someone can hold some sort of a tune.
Everybody should have one song.
Yeah, everybody should have a party piece.
Wait, Maura, do you have a party piece?
Bloodhound Gang. Swag Baby. Swag
Bad
Baby.
Touch.
Yeah.
That's your party piece?
Yeah.
Quite an
odd
party
piece.
You're
looking at it. I'm not doing it now.
All right. No. With the Bloodhound Gang.
I can't sing, but I can kind of... like, I can rap better
than we'll
get
sing. Back to that.
Yeah. I think, most people have some sort of a tune. A go-to tune. That's something I don't think we should lose, like, you know.
Definitely. Yeah.
By fuck your fancy gin bars and the whole lot. You can't bait a good flake of pints and an old sing song. When we used to live together, Johnny, we'd come back and we'd have some crack.
We'd have sing song every night.
Bring a few people back to the house and we'd be busting out tunes till 5 o'clock.
And lads that you'd never expect.
Yeah, some fella'd break out and do a Lou Kelly song and you'd just be like, just, I haven't heard that lad talk in 5 years. Yeah. And now he's just belting out Lou Kelly likes. I think that's something we don't want to lose either. You know, that's that little bit of unique Irishness.
You don't, if you're...
Is there any, bar Jim DeMille's, which we've never been to in Tipperary, that's on, I think, every...
Thursday.
Every so many Thursdays. And like, it's proper... Someone starts singing You Shut Up and they sing and that. Mm. We must go up there one of the nights. Or if there's anywhere else in Ireland, podcast listeners, let us know if there's... Because I tell you, we go.
For a sing-song?
Yeah, a sing-song and a rake of Guinness. But that's basically music.
Just it's not much trad on the air or anywhere.
Yeah, but if you go anywhere abroad, it's all trad.
Yeah, but like if there was a band playing in the pub, and a pub band, and they said, we're going to do a couple of trad songs. They get a great reaction.
Yeah, they would.
So why is it never on the radio?
But that's because music playlists are decided by possibly one person within a radio station, and they have to have music that they think is targeting a certain audience that their advertisers want to reach out to. Like, oh God, I can't really say this, but like, I wouldn't listen to very, very many mainstream radios. I'd listen to Radio Nova because they play a lot of old school stuff, and then probably listen to LMFM a little bit as well, and you know, maybe a little bit of
LMFM,
a little bit of Michael English, like Lachlan's Bar and stuff like that. But you know, it's just because it's cracked, like, you know.
Anton playing the accordion's evil.
The Green Scene on LMFM.
Yeah, we've great one in Tip as well. With Tony Brooke, Shades of Green, and he always speaks like he's about to start laughing.
All aboard the laughter train this evening on Shades of Green with me, Tony Brooke.
It's excellent. I love it.
Go on.
I love that. Throw that on last. Fashion, another thing that's changed a bit in Ireland. Now, for me, actually, we could do with losing a bit of Irishness in this. Yarn jumpers, lad. Not cool. They've never been cool. And also very uncomfortable. That seems to be like, When you look back in Irish history, you say Irish fashion, the first thing that'll come up is like a big iron jumper.
Yeah, but our mate, the Kraken, he wears them, he pulls them off.
No, he doesn't, lad. He looks like Tom Crean.
That's a good look. Tom Crean had a bit of style.
He went training, lad, in a woolly jumper last week, and it was raining. I'd say that jumper was 10 stone by the end of it. You can't. Them days are gone.
That's endurance training. If you looked at... I was watching a documentary that RT made about the Ryzen and all that. It's actually very good. Killeen Murphy's on it.
There's some fabulous stores back then.
Everybody's so well dressed.
Yeah.
All the Irish revolutionaries had a style.
Yeah.
And my grandfather and all their photos were them wearing suits. Up until about the 70s when lads started wearing flares and growing their hair. Up until that, everyone wore suits. And I'm not saying we all have to wear suits, but like, Irish people had a style, and now I think the clothes that Irish people are wearing are influenced by the clothes that the lads on Instagram in America and England are wearing. I think the Irish style is no longer Irish. It's just whatever.
I'm with you on that. I think back years ago, they used to really take more pride in their appearance. You know what I mean? With the suits.
Yeah.
And on a Sunday, everyone would wear their Sunday best. Now no one really gives a shit. Like, everyone's,
like,
could we as a nation take more pride in our appearance?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I went to Paris, right? And you'd spot the French people. They had a look. They had a way of dressing. Like, you
dark, old, slippery fuckers.
You can already see it, like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The French people have a look. You know the French
scarves and stuff.
The Irish lads, bad, are wearing an O'Neill's top.
I wore a scarf out one night in Dublin, and a fella actually robbed it on me. Like, because as if said, don't be wearing a scarf in here.
For your own good.
Yeah, yeah. It was a nice scarf. But, yeah.
I think Irish lads are getting better.
They are improving, yeah, in fairness. With the advancements in ankles out and stuff like that.
But the Irish lads, I think, are looking better now. But you wouldn't know they're Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no set Irish look, I guess.
Yeah, but even the way Irish lads used to look is completely gone out the window. It's not like we've taken the way we used to look and we've modernised it. We've gone for a completely new look.
Yeah.
But even women-wise, like, you know, the Irish Colleen was red hair, freckles.
And the shawl.
And not fucking.
I was asking the mother about that. You know, like the claddagh, the black shawl. Yeah. Like, mother was saying when she was young, like, if they might go down to Cork City and there'd still be ladies wearing all black and black shawls. And all. It's not that long ago.
Yeah. When I was researching this, I looked it up, and you can get your freckles removed now. Mm. Like, lasered off. Why would someone want to do that? Like, that's what makes you Irish. Like, you know, when you go foreign, like, if you go foreign, I'm an awful man for people watching.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, they're definitely Irish. Like, they're Irish. Look, she's got, like, red hair there. She's freckles. She's Irish.
She's burning in 2 minutes of sunshine.
Yeah.
She's in an Irish bar.
She's eating tatoes.
Well, that's news to me, because what I read was that, you know, Gisele Bündchen married to Tom Brady of the Patriots?
No.
Yeah.
Apparently to make her, like, you know, she looks flawless. But what she actually does is she puts on a layer of foundation and then draws freckles over the foundation to make it look like her skin is naturally that good. So.
Wow, that's incredible. Girls, keep the old Irish appearance up. Red hair and the whole lot. Good, then, like.
And if you want to wear the shawl.
Yeah, wear the shawl if you want.
Wear the shawl.
But if you've lovely red hair, show it off, girls. You know, that old Irish look, that's all in now at the
and
moment.
And they were thinking of taking history on the junior cert, making it optional.
No.
That's outrageous. I think it should be compulsory the whole way to leaving cert.
Yeah, I think that, like, if you want to learn, you know, you have to look at the mistakes from the past to learn for the future, I think. Like, Brexit, like, that's happening because, you know, British people aren't taught anything about Irish history, you know. And
That's one of the...
That's one
sorry.
Of the...
Like... My
not solely
sorry,
why
I remember, you know, I don't listen to the Black and Tans music for you. Yeah.
Maura, you are a nationalist.
Well, look, I have a neighbour, Jimmy, and he's always saying you have to look behind you before you move forward. That's Jimmy, the driving instructor.
Yeah.
But definitely, like, some of the things that were said, the vox pops coming out about Brexit, like, oh, we must make Britain great again. It used to be an empire. It's like, lads, you want to look at the history there and realise that's an awful idea.
Yeah, everyone hated you.
That's, fuckers. Yeah, thank God we had 20th century nationalism.
Making it a choice subject for the junior cert is crazy. It should definitely be compulsory. I think it should be compulsory for leaving as well.
Yeah, but you could jazz it up. You could make it more local.
Yeah, but...
Do you know what I mean? Do you know about, like, all the history that happened around here?
Yeah, probably not as much as we probably should. You should know your own history. And I mean, like, I studied Irish history for leaving, because in the leaving it breaks into different sections and you can do different sections. I done Irish history and very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Like, really, really liked it. And the way that it's changed now on the syllabus is you write, you've got a project, it's project based, a certain percentage is project based. The rest is an exam. It should be mandatory. You should know the history of the country you're from or you live in.
Yeah.
100%. That brings us on into...
Go on.
What, have you not necessarily...
Not go on.
You fucking tosser. Our language, then, while we're on the subject of syllabuses.
Yeah. Is the internet killing Irish?
Yeah. Well...
There's not much Irish on the internet, like.
No, you have the fact.
I have it there now, right? Irish is the main home, work or community language for approximately 2% of the population of the Republic of Ireland. And they estimate that fully native Irish speakers, they reckon it's somewhere between 40 and 80,000 people.
But people are constantly complaining about it.
About what?
About Irish, in that, like, oh, why are we doing it in school? It's a waste of time doing it in school. Should we don't use it? No one uses the Irish language. But it's our language. Like,
when you go on holiday and you want to give out, you need the couple of fucking.
Yeah, or if you're working with someone and you, like, you want to give out about him to someone
you
else.
You want to cut the back off him.
You need you need a bit of Gaelga there to...
Yeah, ta on far, shaw, pure, reckon me Lee Roddy.
Yeah.
Like, do you know?
It's a great use of Irish there, Johnny.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
So you must have been ticking boxes for leaving, I'd say. But it's our identity. Imagine the French or the Spanish saying, we want to speak English. We don't want to speak French anymore.
Yeah, like every small nation could say, sure, it'd be just handier if we just, why don't we just pick English or Mandarin Chinese? They're the two biggest languages in the world. We'd just be handier to pick them, like.
Yeah, like there's still pockets of it, the Scottish, isn't that the Celtic?
Yeah.
And the Welsh have drawn, like all their signs are fucking in Welsh as well.
Yeah, but sure, look at Central Europe, then there's people speaking Flemish and speaking all kinds of stuff. You go down to Africa and sure, every 100 yards is another language. Swahili.
But I definitely keep it in schools, and they could probably do with sexing it up a bit, in fairness. And I know they are taking steps.
Lad, there's only two Shoiga sisters. There's only so much they can do to sex up Irish language, okay?
Well, Hector Hockagon said was that he would do is just make the Irish language leaving cert just 100%
oral.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oral. Fucking filth Hector. Right?
But like, that's the thing, a language is meant to be spoken. Like, who wants to, like, you spend more time learning to write Irish than you actually do to speak it. And the only time that I got properly fluent in Irish was when I was in college and I was doing it for my degree, and the Irish lecturer just spoke Irish just the whole time, and you just got used to it, and then you just, it became easy. Your brain just automatically thought that way, and it wasn't hard.
Yeah, that's probably the best approach. Like, I went to the Gaeltacht and that, and I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed speaking Irish. It wasn't just shifting and dancing. I enjoyed actually getting to learn the language, and I'd actually love to go back and do a course or redo something in Irish. That's 100%.
I went to the Gaeltacht as well, and I had a mate who used to watch Fair City. And then he'd reenact it, Oscar Elga.
It's one way of learning Irish.
Yeah, it was class. He'd come
it's
in
also
as
a form of torture.
No, he'd come in as Harry Malloy, and he'd be like, you know, Dolores, Cade on Fiab. What? You know what I mean?
Yeah, what? But even, like, to break out languages a bit, accents, even our Irish accents from different regions, I think has been lost a bit with this whole internet and everything being Americanized. I don't think languages are as strong now as they were. If you listen to some of the people on TV or radio, particularly, I don't think you could tell where they're from their accents.
No.
But that has to be... To be a national broadcaster, you have to have a very monotone... You have to have a very, like...
No, you have to be clear and people understand you.
Yeah.
But couldn't you still have a bit of a twang reading out the news? Today, there was an incident on the Lewis, okay? A dog did get hurt, but you know, couldn't you have some lad from South Kerry reading out the news?
Yeah.
Some cracky, jazz it up a bit, like.
I don't know. Like, my accent, I think, is quite neutral at times, but then I can go proper, how are you? Mandy, hey.
Coming up now.
Like, I know Sharon Lee Violon is holding back on her accent. Sharon, don't hold back.
Where's she from?
I think Sharon is from Dublin.
Yeah, she used to teach, okay. Didn't we get... She's teaching Castleknock Community College.
But when she starts speaking Irish, you can tell she goes proper Connemara Irish accent.
Oh, that's class. Oh, yeah. Oh, Sharon.
So people out there, don't be afraid of your accent.
No, if Sharon and Yolan is listening, you want to come on the podcast and just talk Irish to us. The Bert Shawnees.
It's not that.
I like Irish as in direct translation. Do you know if you're hungry, you say Tá Ocras Orm. And then the actual translation is like, the hunger is on me.
Yeah.
Which is what, like, my grandmother would have said.
Yeah.
I have a thirst on me.
Yeah.
Tá Tart Orm.
Simple.
Yeah, it's like a direct translation. Because I don't...
Quick language.
Quick maths. Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, local radio then, Maura.
Yeah.
The accents on local radio are very flat, are very, you know, mid-Atlantic. Like, if
some
I listen,
DJs are some the old school DJs, the guys who've been doing it since the 1980s.
Yeah,
Terry Wogan job.
Yeah, but I think the younger guys are a little bit more okay in their own accents, I would think.
Most of the ones I've heard now have been, hey, and welcome to the top of the show after the break. Jeez, I got a fit of convulsion there. After the break, we're giving away, you know, tickets to see two Johnnies headbutt each other or whatever. Like, that's just why you like?
It's a good idea for a show.
I thought, you know what I mean. Why can't the lad reading the weather and Tip FM be like, well, it's going to fucking lash. Anyone out in Clonalty, get in out of it. It's going to hailstones after lunch. Right. Now, on to Turles. Are y'all still bastards? Yeah, grand. Back to Seamus with the news. Wow, today's top story, Tip Town is cash.
A friend of mine, Sean McCaffrey, is the breakfast DJ on Northern Sound, and he has a Peel Monaghan accent.
Class.
So, and he does the morning show, so.
Can we get a clip of him for next week?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, there we go then. I think the one thing about losing Irish and stuff, I think we've lost our old charm, our chat a little bit.
The old brogue.
Yeah.
I never understood that. Does that not mean shoe?
Brogue is a shoe, but it's also, I think, your accent as well, isn't it?
I never understood that. Any
it's a different spelling, B-R-G-U-E.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And brogue is a B-R-O for the G.
Yeah, but that notion of like Ireland, of the thousand welcomes and the charm and the bit of chat and the top of the morning to you.
They've never met security at Dublin Airport. No, but seriously, it like, when you come into Ireland, you're thinking like, oh, everybody's lovely and the whole lot. Like, we're not really like.
What are we? Go on.
I'd say we're not. I don't know. I can't speak of the past, but I would imagine we were maybe more friendly 30 years ago because we weren't stuck in our fucking phones.
Phones are eroding away the chat. If you're on the bus now or the Lewis now, like if a stranger struck up a conversation with you, it'd nearly be weird.
Yeah.
I do it intentionally. Mm. Every time I'm in a public space now, if I'm in a queue in a shop, whatever, I try to start a conversation with the person beside me.
Yeah,
it's always awkward in the lift, man. When you do that, like, it's weird. I just feel like, oh, if we could just fall out this lift now, plummet to the bottom, I'd be happy enough. But I think that's the people in general have become introverted. They're in pubs, you're on phone.
That's worldwide, though. I wouldn't say that's strictly an Irish issue.
Yeah,
but
that's true. But we should have more sense here in Ireland.
Yeah, come on, the crack.
Put the phone away. Have an old chat.
Are Irish people becoming less crack?
Maybe a little bit less crack, lad, yeah?
Maybe less wild.
Less wild, yeah. We're becoming healthy and the whole lot.
Less lunatic characters.
We're losing the edge, lad.
The rawness. So,
it's funny, though. Hosier,
let's grow beards and go fucking insane or something.
Yeah, Hosier, when he was on The Late Late, he said that, like, the worst thing you could be if you're Irish is, like, not crack, like, minus crack. So,
yeah, but do you know, Ireland, I think there's less absolute wild lunatics now. I just think that this modern social media and society has kind of knocked the edges off everyone.
Yeah. I think we're gone so politically correct and easily offended nowadays as well. It's hard. Like, when in Ireland, like, everything used to be okay if you say, I'm only messing. I'm only joking with you. Like, and you could have said, like, your whole family are monsters. I'm only messing with you. Yeah. And it'd be all forgotten about. Whereas now we take everything to heart. It's like, oh, that wasn't, you know, you can't say that anymore.
Definitely, like, if you meet older people, I think there's more rising.
Yeah.
They'll always be rising each other.
Yeah.
Younger people, a little bit has gone out of that now. Like, if you meet, yeah, if we wouldn't meet, like, acquaintances, not our close friends, like, in a pub in Dublin, like, you wouldn't be straight to the slagging.
Yeah, you'd have to feel it in a bit, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, like, I think people used to be more slagging, like, where you're from Dublin, I'm from Cork, like, bit straight away, like, old Dubs, like, you know, used to be straight to it.
It's kind of gone a bit. Where the edges are being knocked off us. The national anthem isn't being played at the end of nightclubs anymore. What's the story of that?
I knew a nightclub once that the only way they could get people out was to play Radiohead, Paranoid Android. People used to leave then.
Oh, God.
The national
Sitting
anthem.
Home crying.
But, like, is the national anthem not played at the end of nights?
Well, maybe Welshie can do a remix of it.
Well, she, if you're getting gigs out of this, we want a 10% kickback on the top.
And also, everyone should know the words to the national anthem.
Yeah, I would agree.
We should all be able to get up and sing that at the end of the night, langers.
Yeah. And, like, hugging each other, telling each other we love each other. That's a proper Irish night out there now. Irish dancing.
Irish dancing is there's not enough of it. Mm.
There's not enough. Irish dancing is sexy. Very sexy.
Yeah.
I seen the Riverdance life. Wow.
And the men are manly.
The men have great posture.
Big straight chest and arms down by their side, showing zero emotion.
We done a corporate event recently, and there was, like, a dance troupe come in, you know, Irish dance, but, like,
they snuck in.
Yeah, they snuck in. No one noticed them, apart from there was around 7 lads, perfectly standing straight. All, like, you know, and they were letting on to be waiters. I was like, they're either incredibly like tall waiters.
It was
like
Billy Barry waiters.
Billy Barry waiters. But it was brilliant, yeah, and it was great to see. So Irish dancing, keep it up.
The one part of Irish culture that has probably blossomed over the internet, I think, is the GAA. GAA, maybe, yeah. The brand and how GAA is perceived is not controlled solely by the GAA. Everyone, like, we influence it. Everybody influences how the GAA is perceived. But I think the GAA is doing really well. It's all over the internet. And I think participation levels are up. Now, young lads are, and young ones, there's still a big drop off around that 15, 16 year old age group.
Yeah.
But the GAA is still cool.
Yeah. Still cool. Still a big part of being Irish, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's still to the fore. Even when you go, like, if you were to move abroad, first thing you do would be, you try and find a GAA club.
Yeah. To fit in. You know, like, when they started the Gaelic League all those years ago, it was dancing, language, and GAA. Yeah. And the other two have fallen way behind it. The GAA is flourishing.
So we need to sort ourselves out. We need to become more Irish. How do new people who move to Ireland, how do they become Irish? Or how do they...
Like, our experience here in Care, there's about 2,000 lads after moving in who wouldn't be born in Ireland. And most of them are probably from Eastern Europe, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, we get on grand with them. They kind of don't put in or out with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see a few more of them play a bit of the GAA or get involved somehow, like.
I guess he's making an effort, isn't it? Like, you actually look at the guy who's just been appointed as language officer
in South Kerry, Victor.
In South Kerry.
For the Gaeltacht, yeah. Yeah. He's a Gaelgor.
And he's from Russia.
Yeah.
So there's a man who's, he's got into the nitty gritty. He hasn't stood around there.
Like, if Irish people go abroad, we do join a GAA club and hang out with Irish people. But I think we also try and
broaden the horizons a bit.
Get woven into. So I don't know. We're going to have to get a bunch of lads on from Poland and Ukraine and say, hey, what brought you over here? Like, even Irish people don't stay here. You know?
Yeah. We'll get them on. But anyone out there, lads, leading up to Paddy's Day, be proud to be Irish. Don't lose the traditions that are there as well. I think that's what we're trying to get
across. We want your feedback on this.
Yeah, get your feedback into us, lads. What makes being Irish? That's what we want to know. So get in. We'll read the best of them out then next week. Okay, we'll move on from that.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for the madness. He's harder than ash and smoother than a Joe Cannon sideline cut. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News.
How young for that?
Well, Noel, it's good to have you back here in the studio again for a second week. More videos.
I was getting a couple of curt comments there because I was eating a biscuit.
Yeah, you're chewing a biscuit quite loudly in the microphone.
Well, I'm sorry, I upset your little fucking ears.
Did you watch back last week's podcast on video?
No.
No. Anybody sent you down the pub?
No, don't be watching that. You're sorry, your viewers in the Shamrock would be low. It was not on nationwide, not seen.
Oh,
have a bit of news for you.
Lovely.
There is a man by the name of Bison Kaula, and he's the man they couldn't hang. Right? That's his actual name now, is Bison.
Oh, I thought his actual name was the man they couldn't hang.
I'll do the jokes. Bison, right? Now, it's his name, but he's no relation to America's largest land animal, the herbivorous bison. 700 kg hairy with impressive horns. You'd swear I was describing Jumbo Hassett. So I meant to fucking rude like that now. But, and also, that bison, they say in America, is no relation to the buffalo. The Yanks just mixed them up. There are no buffalo in America.
They're all bison.
There are bison. If you're watching now Western, maybe you're watching Clint Eastwood fighting a few banditos. Maybe you're watching. Do you ever see The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Mm.
It's about the Nolan sisters.
That's bad.
That's harsh.
They could be eating a bit of buffalo, but they're not. They're eating bison, and they just call it buffalo because they're thick. Okay. Now, bison, you know them because they have a big neck. They have a thick neck. I actually went to school with a lad who had a thick neck called the Butt Hogan. Do you remember the Butt? You don't remember the Butt? Oh, I guess fucking man. Well, we were going to school back in the day, and one Sunday he missed mass, and the Christian Brothers wanted to hang him. Right? On the topic of hanging. Well, it was common at the time. You could be hung for all sorts of things. You could be hung for missing mass, for you took Eamon de Valera's name in vain, or if you looked in the direction of England too long, that was a hanging. That was a hanging. So they tried to hang the butt, but the fat fucking neck on him, the rope was too, he broke the fucking rope. They just kicked the shit out of him instead. Well, and there was another lad who was laughing like that, and they went to fucking kick the shit out of him as well. But by the time they got to him, Brother Halley was wrecked. He just backed over him in the car. Oh, different times, huh? God be with the days, bye. God be with the days, huh? Different times. You know?
Oh, God.
Yeah, all them fucking religious orders, I'd be wary of them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tangle with a nun now. I wouldn't tangle with a nun. No way, bye.
Why not?
Ah, nuns. You're not supposed to look him in the eye. I knew a man. He looked a nun in the eye and he went completely deaf. That's a fact. It's a fact. He was stone deaf. So, buffalo, anyway, they're only in Asia and Africa. So, our friend Bison Kaula, he's also below in Africa, in Malawi, a bit of a kip. Bison, right? He was away in South Africa and he was working on a gas rig and he made a load of cash. And he came home and he started buying up the whole place. He's buying a big farm and all the neighbours then got jealous. Betty Big Balls, they were calling him, you know. We have a Betty Big Balls here in town. Did you ever meet him? Fucking his brother Tommy Small Balls. Two gas men. But Bison, anyway, your man, he had a big farm. And he had a lad working on the farm. And the neighbours got jealous. And they kicked the fuck out of the lad working on the farm. And then he couldn't move around. Our legs were bushed on him. And Bison was carrying him one day. And then he fucking slipped and dropped him. And your man hopped his head off the concrete and died. And then when they went to the court, all the neighbours were blaming Bison. And he got done for murder. Jeez. And in Malawi at the time, if you were done for murder, you got the rope. You were being hung. So there's like a big job. There's only one man in the area who does the hanging. And he'd travel around all different countries. You know, nobody wanted to know who he was, or he's kind of, you know, a Jack of the Night type character, like, right? So he'd fly in and he said, this day now, Bison was lined up with 20 other lads and he was going to be hung. And when the executioner had 20 lads hung, he said, I'm tired, I'm going home. And fucking Bison standing there like a spare prick. Right? And then he came back another day. About a year later. He came back around his travels again. He was like a fellow repairing old pots and pans now. He'd come around once every now and then. And he said, they started at 1 o'clock and he had about 20 lads hung by 3 o'clock. And then at 3 o'clock, he said, nah, I'm going home. I'm fucking wrecked again. Three times, Bison was the last man to survive the rope. Huh?
Huh?
Fucking 2 hours work. Your man must be working for the county council or something. So, then there was an old case, changed the law in Malawi, and Bison was allowed to appeal, and he got released from prison. That's a fact.
Wow. Great job.
And he went home, and he found the farm was fucking overrun, nettles and buchalons everywhere, and the kids had moved away, and the wife was dead, and the mother was living in poverty. And I said, the first thing I'd have done would be kick the fuck out of them kids, letting the farm get overgrown. So that is Bison Kaula in Malawi, the man they couldn't hang. Huh? I used to say that about you. Now, my second story of the week. Where is our Lord from? Don't say Mulnahan. That's a different thing.
Nazareth.
Israel. Now, the boys in Israel, they're like us, like the Paddy. We're all over the place. They're the same. There's boys in Israel all over the world. And I don't mean as much crack as such, but they like travelling so much, they're going to the moon. That's right, that's a fact now. Wow. The Israelis are going to the moon. There's a man by the name of Jonathan Weintraub. You'll remember his nephew Willie Weintraub. He won best baby in the Bonnie Baby competition at the field day last year. You remember that, you do? It was a big upset, of course. All the Delahunties had won that for years. They're very nice babies. Now they grew up to be a shower of pricks, but they're lovely babies. And the youngest one, Aisling, had a baby in it, and Sheila only came second place. So the next committee meeting is going to be fairly fucking fiery, I'll tell you that. But that's Willy Weintraub. Anyway, but Jonathan Weintraub, he's the co-founder of a company called Space IL. And they have launched a rocket from Cape Canaveral in Florida, which, as you might know, is not in Israel. But if you have enough twine, if you have enough cash, you can fucking make anything happen. Now, this rocket have a little robot on it. And you're going up to the moon and you're going to take photos and send them back. Why? Like, do you remember the time Carmel went on holidays with her sister? And she was sending me back photos fucking every day of the week on the PowerX phone. Or here I am on the beach. Here I am in a cocktail bar. Like, here I am sunning myself. Okay, fucking grand. You're in Tullamore. Stop going on about it. Right? So, you know, yeah, I said, Cameron, here's the picture of me at the kitchen table eating ham sandwiches four times a day. Fuck's sake. Poor child had to make them. Park. He nearly cut his fingers off with that fucking carving knife. Reckless behaviour from Cameron. But so Google, the company, they offered a big cash prize, a big pop of corn for any non-government project who could safely land on the moon. And nobody did it in time. But these guys were halfway there and we said, fuck it, we're still going anyway. We're still going anyway. And I'd love to know how much money was in it. There must have been big money in it from Google. They'd have some fucking time, them lads. Jeez, myself and Patsy could have put something together if it was... He have a fine workshop out there. Well, he made lovely gates for Anya Highland outside. Did you see him?
I haven't seen him, no.
Fuck it, they're electric in the whole lot.
Whoa.
Patsy, he's a dinghorn, that welder. We must get on to Jonathan Weintraub and see if we can...
Work something up
and make up to the moon ourselves. And then Mr. Weintraub, he said, we've another instrument. This is a collaboration with NASA. And there is a reflector. I can't fucking pronounce it. And it reflects light back. And they're going to measure the distances from one place to another and lunar dynamics. And they can't put a bypass in Tiptown. And they're going fucking measuring lunar dynamics. And I want to know, why are the Israelis going to the moon?
Why not?
Why don't I fucking hop my head off the table? Like, why are they going to the moon? Like, the Yanks have been to the moon. Mm. The Chinese have been to the moon. The Russians have been to the moon.
Why don't they go somewhere else?
Why don't they go to the sun or somewhere?
Burn.
A couple of nights. We're fucking be alright. So, let's fuck all in the moon anyway. You may as well be in the bog. Now, Israelis going to Offaly. That now, they might see something. Right? I was listening to you earlier. You're doing your Dear Johnny section.
Yeah.
People are writing in to you.
Yeah.
Looking for advice. Well, I got a couple of letters too. In a section I like to call Dear Noel.
God.
Okay. So the first letter says, Dear Noel, that's me. Please keep me anonymous. My neighbour is writing my wife. When I confronted her, she denied it. What should I do? Sincerely, Peter Luby in Castlebar. So, Peter, I mean, it looks to me like Peter's only a bollocks. I say, any man, come into my house and write my wife. You better have a good reason. Do you know what I mean? Huh? Now, my advice to you, Anonymous, is harden the fuck up. Tell that woman you're going to give her such a good service, she'll never want another NCT. And tell that, kick the living fuck out of that neighbour of yours. Ten Commandments say, love thy neighbour. It don't say, love thy neighbour and poleaxe your neighbour's wife once a week. Sincerely, Noel. Okay?
Wow.
We got another one here now.
We would advise anybody to not take this on board.
They're going to listen to you, are they? 3E. Fool acting here. Dear Noel, that's me. My dog killed the neighbour's cat. What should I do? give the dog a pat in the head. I don't know. I want, whose garden was it? If it was in your garden, well, the cat shouldn't be there. You don't see the Rovers boys coming down to our parish to go drinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe Dermot is waiting at the crossroads with a shotgun. Maybe he's walking the dog. You know, ye decide. It's up to ye, boys. You want to find out? Did you see he got a new dog?
Dermot did.
Dermot got another dog, yeah. What he fucking have a dog now. He got a little small one. And do you know what he called it? Bunty Flannery. He named the dog Bunty Flannery. Well, sure, and all them Flannery's breeding a few dogs.
I don't know.
Yeah, fuck it, they are. And he got a handy-sized little bitch, and he named her Bunty after his first wife.
Whoa.
Bunty Bailey was her name. She was a dancer in that group, Hot Gossip. Do you remember them?
No.
Did you ever see the video of her, aha,
Take on Me.
Take on Me. That's her in the video.
Is it?
Yeah, whoa. Dermot was married to her.
Anyway.
A whirlwind romance now. Take on Me, boy. That's what I'd be saying to the Rovers lads now if they come in.
Take on Me.
Yeah, so, but if the dog went into the neighbour's yard and killed the cat, then you may have to replace the cat. You know, a calf would do, or a ferret, or whatever, it should be fine, but you probably have to replace it.
Ferret?
Yeah, well, make a good pet. And I was telling you I was opening the disco.
Yeah, well,
it's opening next week. Fuck it, my Chris de Burgh impersonator pulled out.
What? I know.
Why?
He got a better paying offer.
From
he does a lot of funerals. Mostly funerals. He does the art communion. People just like to have Chris de Burgh at their function. He looks good. Helped keep away Bono. You know? Just a safety measure. But as a replacement, I got a Tommy Fleming tribute act. Now, it's two lads together because no one man could pull off Tommy Fleming. Several people have tried to pull off Tommy Fleming, but they have been, as of yet, unsuccessful. If there is anyone listening who has pulled off Tommy Fleming, you might let us know here.
Yeah, impersonate him. Yeah.
Not pull him off.
So, well, whatever. So I must, I'm going away anyway. I have a bag of ferrets in the car I'm trying to sell.
Be back next week.
God willing.
God willing. God
you never
willing.
Know.
Come on, no.
All right, go on, good luck.
All right, our Tinderella and producer Mara's here. Mara, what's your mystery topic this week?
Okay, so we were chatting about Tinder last week and we got an email into the podcast of Two Johnnies. And I mentioned this a little to you earlier on, but I feel like we really need to help this guy because he's meeting this one at a late Valentine's celebration next week and I think we have to sort it. So listen, this is Lama. His name is, well, he has his name here. But we're going to call him Tim, okay, right? But Tim, look, you're going to know what your problem is when I read it. After your dilemma session, I thought I'd get your thoughts on this, and also from Maureen. I matched with a girl on Tinder that I kind of know. We meet often at charity events. Then I instantly unmatched before she saw the match because, as Maura will probably know, along with some of your listeners, sometimes Tinder isn't the best, aka shite, when matching up with people you know. I've kind of liked this girl for a while now, but I'm really shy when it comes to women. Tell me to go up and sing a song, no bother, but approaching women, I honestly can't. I normally get attracted to girls after getting to know them for a while, which has kind of happened here. Basically, sorry for rambling. I'm going to see this girl at a late Valentine's celebration next week. The event couldn't happen this week. Was wondering what you think I could do. This is like my little heart. He really likes this girl, but he's too shy to go up near her. I kind of think, like, just relax, be yourself. There's no, she's not going to bite, you know?
Unless you answer it.
Yeah.
What's he meeting her at?
Why are they going to a lot of charity functions?
Maybe.
Hang on, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doubting that. I'm just wondering why, like, what, like.
Maybe it's through a professional capacity.
Yeah.
Possibly so.
It could be like that there's just a load of Strictly's or Night at the Oscars or that those type of events on.
And he's meeting her at some sort of Valentine's Day thing.
Yeah, this week.
Who's running that?
They must run an events company or something, is it?
I didn't email him back to find out more information.
So he said he was shy and nervous.
So, right, what he did was he matched her on Tinder, then panicked and then unmatched her.
Okay.
So, like.
Wait, so she's oblivious to this fact?
Yeah, she would have Well, you'd get a you wouldn't get an instant notification unless you super liked someone, and you'd have to flick through a bunch of people to get. So you'd have like, you'd probably like, unless somebody was right on Tinder, you'd have a couple of minutes to unmatch it. So she doesn't know that he is master. I kind of think it's no harm matching with somebody.
Yeah, I think his biggest problem there is that he unmatched her. If he's shy and nervous, it would be easier text her on Tinder.
Yeah.
Then it would be speak to her face. So if he had initially matched her on Tinder, had an old chat, conversation was going for a couple of days, it's way easier then to meet her. Like, yeah. Because you know?
She does like him, because she obviously swiped for him.
Yeah.
So he's just thinking about this too much and just thinking that the outcome is going to be negative.
How do you know she swiped for him?
Because they matched. So like.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So like he could have swiped her, but he wouldn't have gotten a match notification unless she had swiped for him.
So she's clearly into him. He's into her.
Tim.
Tim, man.
Fuck's sake. I've never been on Tinder. I didn't know that. That's stupid. Tim, god damn it. Match her again.
See, once you've matched someone, you can't. They won't come up again on your feed. So he needed to have to delete his account and create a new one. And then, like, swipe through hundreds of women. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's terrible, Tim.
Like, he could message her on Facebook and just say, hey, seen your on Tinder profile there. I don't really do Tinder that much, but.
Oh, he's going down that road. It's my first time on Tinder kind of thing.
I just think go up and talk to the girl. But she does like you, so just. Like, there's the thing of, you know, putting the pussy on the pedestal. That's what he's kind of doing.
He probably has her on Instagram, does he?
Well, mostly young lads would, yeah.
Get her on Instagram and slip into DMs.
Yep.
Seeing you on Tinder, I know you. I was kind of embarrassed to be on it my first time on it. Get the chat going. And then say, you know.
What? Yeah.
Trying to go for a cuppa.
The subtle way of doing that is, like, let her put a story on Instagram. And then reply to the story. So it's not like you've gone out of your way to directly slip into her DMs. You're kind of just like, oh, that's funny. And then she'd be like, oh, yeah. And then be like, oh, how are you anyway? Bang, you're in then, in like swimwear.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have to mention the Tinder thing soon enough.
I could say, oh, I've seen your profile on Tinder. I don't do it much myself. How's it going for you? Because that way you know then if she has a fella on the go or not.
Yes.
Well, she's on Tinder.
Yeah, but she could be dating someone while being on Tinder.
Like Mara.
But Smacks is saying, don't lead with the Tinder things. Max is saying to reply to her story, just a general chat.
Then I'd slip in the Tinder thing then.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Tim, I would definitely, to solve this for you, I would definitely make contact with her before the charity event.
ASAP.
I'd have a bit of back work done. Bit of leg work. And then it's easier then on the night. It's like, sure, I'll meet you for a drink there at the event. Oh yeah, sound. Bang. They'll be married within a year. That's what we do here at Two Johnnies.
Yeah. I do think that Irish lads, there was this really interesting date on first dates during the week, and it was a lad from Armagh set up with a French one. And the French one was like, basically, I don't want to date you. She said, like, you know, when they ask at the end of it, like, so would you like to go on another date? And she was like, you're a bit shy and you weren't that confident and you didn't ask me enough questions about myself.
Fucking French, huh?
Yeah, but I kind of think that, like, Irish lads are a little bit hesitant about dating. They're terrified. But then send them abroad and there's nobody to judge them in the pub or anything like that. And they're away with the chats.
Well,
like,
I'm glad that the French one was honest, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
So, Tim, get in touch, do a bit of legwork. And can we get an update for next week on that?
Yeah. I'll send him an email and just say, look, how did the advice go? Let us know. Yeah. And
Tim, take our advice.
The only thing that could go wrong is she's going to turn around and just say, I'm not interested. And she's like, that's grand.
Yeah.
Plenty of other women out there.
They matched on Tinder.
Yeah, she wants him.
He'll be slapping the arse off her now in the month. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He'll be at her biscuit.
He'll be at her biscuit now next month.
If a woman matches you on Tinder, it does mean that she genuinely does like you, because they don't do that. Like, some men blanket swipe. You know, they just swipe anything and everything in the hope of getting something.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So whereas women are like, nah, don't like him. Eh, probably would. So.
Yeah. So women have considered it, you're saying?
Yes.
Fellas are just thinking with their dick, Mara. That's exactly what you just said there.
Yeah, you know, that's okay, Mara.
That's all right, Mara. Nobody judges here, Mara. That's okay.
Yeah, but like, are you going to provide me with evidence to the contrary? I don't think so.
No, unfortunately we won't. Right, Tim, take our advice and Mara will be in touch with you, and hopefully we'll have a follow-up on that next week. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod. That's the number 2 Johnny's Pod to spread the good word of the gospel according to the 3 of us. All right, topic number 2. This week, we're asking, what are the critical milestones in a relationship, and at what stage do you pass them? So this was actually somebody wrote into us. I guess technically this is Dear Johnny.
Dear Johnny's.
And they want to know, when?
When should they introduce her, him or her, to the parents?
Yeah. They also want to know, when should you bring him to the pub and other stuff?
Meeting the parents and the friends is tough, lad.
Meeting the friends, that's probably the first big milestone, is it?
Who do you meet first, the parents or the friends? Or friends, I suppose.
The friends are probably worse. They'll judge more.
Who do you meet first?
I think the parents would ask less questions.
Yeah.
Jesus, you haven't met my mother. How are you, man? I know you're listening. Who's a tougher audience, the friends or the parents?
The friends.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, the friends are tougher, lad.
I think so. The friends will be probing.
You have shit friends.
You know, but you'll know within like 2 minutes if your friends like them or not.
Yeah.
You'll know about her body language.
I can't wait for more to introduce us to a lad.
That'll be worse than the parents. So, you'll come in and we'll two of us just be sitting there naked. What's up, man?
So, how many cows do you have? Where do you introduce her to the friends? Like, down the pub?
You probably do, isn't it? You probably bring her on a night out.
If you bring her down the pub, you're seeing her.
Oh yeah, oh, it's yeah. Real then. I'd be thinking, as regards the parents, you'd introduce them to the parents when they stop being a bang, a shag, a kind of, do you know, a thing. It's normally a thing at the start, isn't it? It's a thing.
Unless you're still living with your parents, then they're going to get introduced to her a lot sooner.
Yeah, odds are you probably won't have a girlfriend.
How are you, Matt? This is Sheila. She's just leaving.
Yeah, but you can't do that. Like, you can't say, yeah, hey, mom and dad, yeah, this is Rosie. We're not going out now, Ratton. I'm just going to bring her upstairs there.
Lads are doing that.
Bang around like a silverback.
We did it. We did this living at home thing. Loads of lads are getting the bag at home.
Jeez, I wouldn't be able to, anyway. That's a fucking fact.
You wouldn't get it up with the... I can hear me ma hoovering. I can't get it up. Shouting down the stairs.
But are we in agreement there that you bring them home to the parents when you know in your head, when you've made up your mind?
You're going out.
We're going out.
But
I think...
Because you don't know if you're going out until you have to bring them home to see what the parents think of them. Like, if they don't get the nod from mommy and daddy, you have to kind of...
Would you get rid of them if they didn't get the seal of approval?
Oh, God, yeah.
Larry, Faye, if you're listening.
You've opened a bag of worms there, Mara.
Well, like, I would, yeah.
What if you loved them? Or really liked them? Okay, we're still in the early stage, too. I'm pure love after 2 weeks, Charlotte. I love ya.
I couldn't like someone that my dad didn't like.
Yeah. Sure, he's not fucking right.
But my dad, like, it wouldn't matter my mother's opinion. My mother's opinion wouldn't matter to me just for, like, I don't know why, but it just wouldn't. But my dad's opinion would matter, yeah. Because my dad's a good judge of character, you know.
He is a sheep farmer.
Yeah. Oh. I like, yeah.
It's
like,
getting juicy on the Two Johnnies podcast this week.
Yeah, no, like.
Okay, hang on more. Would your dad tell you if he didn't like them?
Yeah.
I'd know. I'd know how he reacted. Like, if he invited him to come round the farm and look at the stock with him, then he'd be like, my dad definitely likes you. Or if my dad was like, right, so I'm weird now. Right, talk to you later. I'd be like,
I'm going to get the shotgun. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But what if he was had great character, but he wasn't into the farming run? Your dad and him didn't have anything in common. They'd have less to bond over, but he still could be a great guy.
What if you brought lad home with like an earring or something?
I wouldn't be attracted to a lad with an earring, no. I don't know. Like, it has happened on occasion that I really like someone and my dad was like, oh, whatever, not that. And then they kind of turned out to be assholes, so I was like...
So you're trusting his judge of character, more so than, yeah.
I trust my own judgment, yeah. I trust... The whole thing about relationship milestones is that they're tests, because you have the blinkers on fairly early on in a relationship, because there's no better drug than that thing of like, oh, I'm falling in love and blah, blah, and he's great and Jesus, isn't he handsome, isn't he, blah, blah. And then you're kind of like not noticing things like, he didn't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pig.
Yeah, he didn't call over when he said he was going to call over, and he texted so.
Yeah, we can't have the rose-tinted glasses on, all right, at the beginning of relationships. Yeah, like, I'd say if I was to bring Beyonce home, your mother would be giving out about it. Like, she's just, nobody's good enough for her fella, her boy, her little boy.
What about your mother's? Like, do you look for the seal of approval from your mother?
Sorry, ma'am, no.
Well, if my mother didn't like her, she'd just kill her on impact. Bury her in the backyard.
She's going to have to go, Johnny.
Yeah. Fucking mother doesn't talk to her.
Mother taking the knife out of the back pocket.
Caught her outside there.
See you.
No, I don't know. I think looking at it from a parent's role, if parents are too harsh on them straight away, a lot of people, it's kind of, you know, it's like that forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
If they say like, oh, you shouldn't be with her, you're like, well, fuck you now, I'm going to be with her just
putting
to spite
up,
you.
Putting up the defences then.
Yeah.
Siege mentality.
The best thing parents can do is just nothing really. Just say, oh yeah, grand, fair play to you, like, and then just be there for you when it all goes tits up at the end. Yeah. It's probably their job.
Unless there's, you know, a farm on the line or a house on the line.
Yeah, serious shit then. Ah, yeah, that's a whole different kettle of fish. Bring them to meet your mate. That's the test.
If she comes in and starts yapping the head off all your mates and you're pure like, oh my God, shut up in your head, then...
Yeah, then it's not right for you.
Give her the boot.
I'd be afraid to bring someone to meet some of our circle of friends. They're absolute maniacs.
Vocally savage.
Yeah, dude.
But they try and crack onto her, do you think? Or
some of my friends.
Yeah, I remember once introducing the next to a mate of mine. And I was like, oh, my mates are coming up. Now, my mate, he's going to crack onto you, like. He's going to try and ride you. Don't worry about it. And she's like, what? But is he your mate? Yeah, no, he's my mate. Like, it's just, this is his thing. This is like his main thing.
I'm really sorry about that.
And then after a few minutes, he was like, well, and she was like, oh my God, he is cracking on to me. That was just his thing.
Yeah. I would just be afraid of, like, your friends would tell her embarrassing stories about you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It would be more like...
Yeah, but you want a little bit of that. It's like endearing.
I think male friends would definitely, they'd be out to shame you. Whereas I think female friends would be like, so what are your intentions?
Yeah.
Oh, she's always talking about you.
Yeah. The female friends want to protect you. The male friends want to ruin you. It's that.
Yeah, but they're not going to be like...
If you walk into pub or all that, that's it, isn't it? It's you know...
Oh, you're a new one, are you? Yeah. did he ever tell you about that one he shouted in college? Like, yeah. They're not going to go full on.
Yeah, they would. I think it's definitely worth introducing them to friends.
What about the internet? Can we get onto that?
Yeah, the internet. Go on.
Putting up photos to you on social media.
Never happened.
Facebook status.
Facebook status is 2004, lad.
You could only do that, like, I think after that 6 months, like minimum 6 months.
Yeah.
You'd have to know that this is probably going to go somewhere, because there's nothing worse than like when you break up with someone and then you have to log on to Facebook, go delete that photo. Yeah, untag that photo.
I guess we're public entities now as such, like.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have bothered me if I could throw a baton, like.
Before it, like.
Yeah.
Pre-Two Johnnies, yeah.
Yeah, pre-Two Johnnies. Whereas now...
It's different, yeah.
I'd never put up...
Yeah.
A couple's photo, regardless of anything. Because you'd be almost protecting the other person in it. In that, like, there's a lot of people just write abuse on photos and stuff out there on social media. So you're almost saving that other half.
Yeah.
A whole lifetime of fucking grief or...
Yeah.
If they're not in the same space as you.
Yeah, if they're not in the same space as you.
They're just a regular person.
Yeah.
Because it is.
It can be tough, like.
Yeah, if you're well-known or whatever and you put up a photo of you and someone else, it's kind of like saying, right, you know, look at us. And then everyone who's following you on Instagram is going to be like, oh, I wonder who that is now.
Yeah.
Give us a look at them.
But like even when we travel to gigs, like we put up Anton and the girls who work on the tour are there, like,
yeah.
You get like 20 Instagram messages, be like, are you writing them, like? And we're not, like.
We're not.
Yeah. You know, we're not. It's just, that's what people genuinely think.
Yeah, they go straight to it.
As regards posts, I don't know about you, Johnny, but for me, I would never. Anyway, it's just, I'm not going to say never, but I would.
It's a serious decision.
Yeah.
Like, I see other people putting up photos of them with their family. Yeah. And you have to say, you know, you're pulling them into your world.
Yeah.
When they go down to shop now, like, they're not celebrities, but yet they're probably really recognisable to all your followers.
I throw up the very odd one in my family, maybe one at Christmas or that. But that's about it. Like, I try and keep them off.
Yeah, but you were saying, like, your mom would get stopped.
Yeah, my mom's been at our shows and, like, people have asked her to sign stuff and stuff.
Mammy
she
Smacks.
Fucking loves it. Like, she signs it as Mammy Smacks, and I'm just like, oh my God. Yeah, don't be doing that. But or she'll comment on my Instagram posts or something.
trying to get their numbers up.
You look very handsome. It's like, oh my God, you fucking leave me alone, man.
When do you think in a relationship it's okay to post a picture of you two together to social media?
If you're a boyfriend girlfriend, you can post it.
Yeah.
A month.
After you've met the parents.
Yeah.
Really?
Even before that.
Oh, you probably meet the parents before you go online, would you?
Oh, you'd have to. Because otherwise the parents are going to be down the shop getting questions.
Yeah. Get the hump.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, I see your Tom is going out with that girl from over the road. Her family is big farmers. And your mother would be there going like,
I'll kill him.
I like not knowing anything at all. Yeah, like,
if there was a big farm going, I should have known about it.
Yeah,
that whole post and photo. So that's a different fear. In an ordinary life, as soon as your boyfriend, girlfriend, and they've met the parents, like you slap up a post. Like.
Yeah.
But you see how it is.
But don't put it like as your profile photo instantly.
No, that's
I'm no longer single. Yeah. Thank God.
Look at me.
Isn't the gas how Instagram doesn't have a relationship status option?
Yeah.
Welcome to the new world.
Yeah. Welcome to the new age, boy. Yeah.
But you're like, you shouldn't be posting that stuff online. Like, why does the internet need to know? Why do the Russian lads need to know what your relationship status is?
Because other lads creeping on you on Instagram want to know if they're wasting their time or not.
But you're like,
that's why.
That's
maybe
true.
You don't want to put that information out there because, you know, you could always decide something better might come along and you could upgrade.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Johnny is trying to allude to that for the last 10 minutes, Mara. Just said it how it is. Fair play.
Next.
Next thing up for couples as regards milestones is probably the couple's holiday.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big one. That is the acid test.
Yeah.
If you survive that, you may as well just get fucking married, I'd say.
Yeah.
I know a couple who went on holidays. They went out for like 2 weeks there in Spain and they got separate flights home. Done. Done and dusted. Capers and custard. That was it, like.
Yeah.
Game over.
I think so too. And I think I went on the first couple's holiday, like proper, went for a weekend away and I got sick on the weekend away and the person that I was with took actually really good care of me and brought me to the doctor, like the doctor on call that was in like Westmead, or we went Mullingar or somewhere like that.
Oh, fancy.
So that was grand. I thought,
that's romance.
Yeah, I thought like this person was like, yeah, oh, like so decent, like really minded me. And then went for a week away abroad and they were very much out of their comfort zone. And like, it was a big deal to them to like do new activities and try different foods and not eat stuff that they weren't used to. And I was like, and it caused them great anxiety. And I was just like, do you know what? You're just too, you know, set in your ways for me. So,
much. I think that's the thing. When you go abroad, if you're a newish couple and you're not living together and then you go abroad, it's probably the first time you've ever spent a long period of time just together.
Crash course.
I would say if you're going on a couple's holiday and it's your first couple's holiday, bring another couple.
Soften the blow.
Genuinely, because like
but the stress of travel.
Yeah, but that and the heat.
It's all romantic, right? See how romantic she is when you lose your boarding pass.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah. And the heat. You can get agitated in the heat then as well. You know, there's a bit of like narky. You can be a bit narky sometimes in the heat.
Hungover in the heat.
Hungover and that, like.
What, you know, what's she like when she's hungover?
Mm.
Yeah, 10 days in Santa Panza. You'll find that out.
It's probably the first time that you'll get to see her, like waking up looking like absolutely dog rough, like, you know. So
yeah.
That's
a lot of like girls said that, oh, I'd have to have my makeup on, he couldn't see. I mean, like, in all fairness, like that's par for the course. Like, if you spend a night together, your first night together, like,
yeah,
and you've been out having a few drinks, she's not going to like look her best the next morning.
But she still probably has a face of makeup on. She probably goes to sleep. Like, if you're on a night out, is she going to stop and say, just take off your makeup there?
I'm sure they would.
Mara? Not necessarily.
No, like, there's a different, like, hungover vibe waking up on holidays when you've probably been drinking that day and that night, and then you wake up the next morning and, you know, it's 3-4 days after you've applied your tan and, you know, you might have a few eyelashes on the cheeks and, you know, you might be a little bit sunburnt as well.
Raccoon eyes.
You could be a little bit, you know, the hair could be a little bit dried out. You wouldn't be looking your Mae West.
But sure, isn't that what couples are? Good and bad. You know what I mean?
Through thick and thin.
Yeah, you can't just be that Instagram person.
Yeah, I'm saying this. I'm saying that, like, that's a big thing, you know.
It can be stressful, you know. Get me anti-fags there, like. Oh. Yeah. Don't want to get your anti-fags.
They're bad for her. They're bad.
Glad you're...
I have a bit of a dose on me, yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
So, yeah, that's couples goals. I suppose the only thing after couples holidays then is you move in together.
Oh, God.
And it all just goes to fuck.
For me, it's introducer, probably friends, family, then the pub, then online.
Friends, family, pub, yeah.
Or when's the holiday?
Friends, family, pub. Friends and parents, I would say. Yeah. Family, and then the pub.
What about, you know, the extended family?
Ah, fuck them.
That could only really happen in a wedding, you know, yeah. So, or a funeral. So.
Social. You could be unlucky and get a wedding early in the relationship.
That is a big challenge.
You know? Yeah, do you bring her or not?
I'd say don't bring her to the, if it's early in the relationship, don't bring her to
the wedding,
or maybe the meal, but bring her to the evening part when everybody's a few drinks in them anyway.
But so if you bring him to the evening part, you're clearly saying, this is my fella, but he's not really my fella. Like.
Yeah, this is,
but like, them
this is my partner.
Like,
it's not, she's, you know, not that important.
It ain't really a dinner thing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just going to screw with the end of the night.
Yeah, it's more of an evening drinks kind of guy.
Okay, so there, that's our advice. I hope we've helped with,
I doubt it, but
with that listener's relationship milestones. We've butchered it, but it's been a bit of crack. Who cares? Right, we're going to round off the podcast as we always do with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Do you want to kick us off?
My yurt of the week, I got a lovely bit of venison.
Okay.
That wasn't supposed to be funny, okay. Yeah, deer.
Deer.
Marinated it overnight, done it in the oven.
Yeah, he ran it over. It's roadkill.
Lad, there was an explosion of deer in the country.
Yeah.
The population of deer is going through the roof. I met a man out the road, and he said, when he was young, he used to go lamping, shooting deer. And you could go out all night, and you might see three or four, and you'd shoot at them, but they'd be cute. They'd have been shot at before. He said he went walking, same fields, not the mountains, farmers' fields, one night last week, and in one night he counted 60 deer.
Mm. Wow. So you're only doing your bit, ain't you?
That is an explosion. She saw the seed head to Cullum in the Phoenix Park. It's changing conditions.
Yeah, and anybody who says that culling deer is wrong is just, they don't understand the facts of it.
The ecosystem.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Johnny.
Because there's no wolves, there's no natural predators. Yeah. You know, cars. No, you know, we don't want that either. Right, Johnny, yurt.
My yurt of the week is, it's a podcast. I'm going to recommend another podcast. Yeah, that's how secure we are in ourselves. To two Johnnies. It's called Quickly Kevin, Will He Score? The 90s football show. So Josh Widdicombe.
Bit of a niche audience.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. This is niche now. If you like soccer and you're into your 90s soccer, especially like myself, this is the show for you. If you're not, the next few seconds are going to be a waste of time. Josh Widdicombe, the English comedian, it's his podcast, and he's got another guy with him, and they interview some 90 soccer players, and they also have a quiz at the end of each series, and they just talk about 90 stuff, get specialist subjects. It's brilliant. Right. I love it. I binged it. I'm around 20 episodes in now. So I'd recommend that. It's my dirt of the week.
My dirt of the week, goat.
Yeah, what, like,
I was eating goat last night.
Oh.
Now it tasted okay, but you know, people weren't feeling it.
No,
I put a snap of it on my Insta, and a lot of people were like, "Ah, lad, don't be eating goat," you know.
Yeah, that's nasty. In fairness, my dirt of the week, I would say Jack Whitehall's fake tan. Did you see it from the Brits?
No.
His hands were completely different colour than his face.
Oh, no.
It was an awful fake tan. That, and also, a shop in Dublin have said that they're getting rid of breakfast rolls.
Dirt.
Because they're too unhealthy. Bullshit. The breakfast roll. That's a bit of Irishness right there, boy.
Yeah, but
it's so big. See it all in the plate. You're like, oh, and then it can all fit in a little roll.
Yeah. That's
it's amazing.
Magic.
Yeah.
Breakfast roll is grand in moderation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would agree, Mar. So
how do they do it?
Keep the breakfast. Yeah, roll it up in that little roll.
How do they do it?
It's amazing. But yeah, that's my dirt of the week. Johnny.
Oh.
You probably should have it. You probably missed the major dirt there.
My actual dirt of the week. Pardon me. Someone is impersonating me on Tinder. You see this, no?
Oh, yeah. You sent it to the group. Yeah.
Somebody is taking a load of photos off my Instagram and set up a Tinder profile. John. Entertainer in Limerick. You know, several women messaged me saying they were disappointed because they'd matched, which thanks for the compliments, ladies, but it's not me. I'm not on Tinder, and I thought you had to have a Tinder linked to your Facebook or something.
Yeah, but you just set up a fake Facebook account as well.
Oh, they've went to some degree of work there, haven't they?
Yeah,
I'm so, kind of disappointed that like nobody has impersonated me.
Do you want me to do one?
No, thanks, lad. You're okay. Not in your capable fucking hands, anyway.
But I want to know what happens when these people match with the fake Johnny B on Tinder.
Oh, I'd say it's probably some catfish thing to get girls to send
nudes.
Nudes, yeah.
He better not be sending dick pics. I'd nearly send him a couple of dick pics if you at least use real ones. Like. You know, I don't think there's too many real ones of me online. So,
can we? Well, do you want to just make it clear in the podcast that you are no way on Tinder, and any profile of you on Tinder is fake?
At the moment, yeah. No, it is. I've never been on Tinder, and it's not me. And I don't condone sending, you know, unsolicited genital photos either.
Yeah, you can probably report that because that's a personal safety thing.
Can you?
Yeah, I'd be very. Yeah, it's important that people know that there's fake profiles out about you.
Then. If anybody out there comes across that, you can report that on Tinder.
And if they know the guy who's actually set up the profile, send us his home address.
Send it. Yeah, we kick the shit out. All right.
Why Limerick? Yeah.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
Good luck. Go on.
Good luck.
It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.